Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's our summer series, Going Local, where each Thursday we explore one region of New Hampshire, and today we hit the Lakes region. The area's abundant waterways are famous in New England and even around the country. In fact, more than once when I've told someone I'm from New Hampshire, they've said, oh, Lake Winnipesaukee. But the region has its struggles: expensive housing, workforce challenges, a higher poverty rate, and a higher median age than the state as a whole. Then there's the lakes themselves. It's a delicate act keeping them beautiful when so many people want to enjoy them. Today in The Exchange, we're going local to the Lakes region, and let's hear from you. What do you love about living in this area? What don't you love? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. We have three guests for the hour. Carol LaSalle is here. She's Real Estate Development Project Manager for Lakes Region Community Developers. And Kara is Secretary of Governor Sununu's Millennial Advisory Council. And Kara, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, David Levesque, Principal of Pleasant Street School in Laconia. David created a school-wide mentorship program called We Connect to help address childhood trauma that's being copied around the region. And David, good to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Carmen Gifford, President of the Lakes Region Chamber of Commerce. And Carmen, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Well, all of you, but I want to start with you, Carmen. Just define this Lakes region for us. You know, well-known landmarks, well-known communities. What does it include and what doesn't it include?
Sure. Well, I would define the Lakes region. We are very regional. Because of the lakes, it's kind of made it a larger geographic footprint. And people love the lakes. They love the mountains. They love the outdoors. It's a place for first-time homeowners and seasonal folks, but the seasonality makes it very different throughout the year. But I believe it's really a destination area as well.
Well, and we'll talk about the second home issue later on in the show, I'm sure. Just to put it on the map for us, I mean, Lake Winnipesaukee, you look at the map of New Hampshire and there it is. And I can't tell you how many times when I've said I'm from New Hampshire, people say, oh, Lake Winnipesaukee, you know, as if I live right there on Lake Winnipesaukee. But just sort of put it on the map for us, if you could please, Carmen.
Sure. It's not really central New Hampshire, because mm-hmm. central New Hampshire is more towards the Plymouth area. The Lakes region we define as a chamber, we cover 24 communities, 24 towns and cities around Lake Winnipesaukee, but also it includes Squam Lake, Winnesquam, Opeachy, Webster, and the small ponds and lakes in some of the other rural towns.
Is the city of Franklin considered in the Lakes region, even though it's,
yes,
I think it's
is.
Technically in Merrimack County? But
it
yeah.
is. It is. The Lakes Region Chamber will be celebrating our 100th year, and we have consolidated chambers throughout this time. There were seven towns and cities within the Greater Franklin Chamber, and that became part of our chamber in 2008.
And I was looking at some of the data yesterday, Carmen. Two main counties making up this region, Belknap County and Carroll County, Belknap to the west, Carroll to the east. What differences do you see in these sort of two halves of the Lakes region?
Well, I think the further north that you go, the more rural that it becomes. So the challenges are a little different. The housing becomes different. The number of employers per town. So I think it just becomes more of a, I don't want to say suburb, because it really is more rural. It's what makes it so special.
Kara, when people say, oh, Lakes region, what's it like to live there? How do you answer that? How would you describe this place where you live?
Oh, I love living there. I think it's really unique that, You know, we actually live in a place where most people vacation. You know, you have access to the mountains and the lakes. You can go for a hike after work and, you know, go for a swim. It's a beautiful place. Its natural beauty is just phenomenal. I mean, you know, running errands, you get a beautiful view of the lake at sundown. It's really wonderful.
Well, it's interesting. We often hear from studies that millennials in general say, I want to live in a city. I want public transportation. I don't feel like driving. I want the brew pubs. I want the nightlife. Lakes region, you know, it's a wonderful place. I go there a lot, but it's not really Boston.
It's not. And I think that really is what makes it wonderful. You know, I think a lot of the millennials that have either moved to the Lakes region or relocated back to the Lakes region have made a conscious choice and perhaps some, you know, concessions financially, perhaps with their careers for the lifestyle. I mean, that's really why we're here is, you know, you want to enjoy the outdoors and year round, basically. You know, you can ski and have the great summers. So it's, you know, it was a conscious choice, I think, for most of us, and myself and my peers.
What's your own connection to Lakes Region, Dave?
I originally went to Plymouth State College, and once I was here, I just never left. So I've
really?
Been here for close to 30 years. And like they've said prior, it's just a great place to live. It's big enough where you can visit places around the area, and it's small enough where you feel at home, whether it's in your town or the next town over.
How would you describe the Lakes region to somebody from the outside?
Exactly what's been said. I think it's beautiful. I think it's one of those places that it's a hidden gem, and, you know, it's 2 hours from Boston, so it's a getaway. When I'm out with people I know, I say, I can't believe people vacation here, and I get to live here. It's one of those weird things. We leave here to go on vacation, where people come here to enjoy vacation.
What would you say, Dave, and I want to hear from everybody, what do people from elsewhere in New Hampshire not understand about this region? Somebody from the Monadnock region, somebody from, you know, the Southern Tier, Nashua, Pelham, Salem. What do they not get about the Lakes region?
I think what I've gotten the most out of this region is the amount of care and give back that the communities give to each other. It's small enough. But you get to know people. I'm thoroughly amazed at how often businesses and local organizations give back to community members and run through activities for the youth and the adults in the area. I think sometimes there's some negative connotation that they hear about certain areas. Well, some of it may be true, but I believe the communities are so engaged and so involved and so giving.
What areas are you talking about specifically? Negative connotations about certain areas.
I think when you hear, even if you hear about Laconia, you think, oh, it's a city. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's a lot of homelessness. We have some of those things, but I don't think people understand what really goes into our community. Living and breathing it every day as a school principal and working with a great group of administrators across the Lakes region, there's so much more to them what they read in the paper. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. And we're here trying to change that mindset of people who read about Laconia or the Lakes region.
That's interesting. And I want to hear from you folks as well. But also, our intern, Abigail Sleeper, went to the Lakes region and spoke to people about what it's like to live there, how they feel about it. And I want to play one of the little interviews that she did, Dave, because it follows up on what you just said. Marcia Higg lives in Sanberton, and like all of you, she cited the natural beauty of this region as one reason why she's a resident. But she also said, like you did, Dave, it's about the people.
In Sanberton, we have a really strong community. Folks value the quiet and welcoming town that they live in. There are a lot of volunteers that work hard to make it pleasant for people. And it's just a good place to live.
Again, that's Marcia Higg. She lives in Sanberton. She talked to our intern, Abigail Sleeper. What about you, Carmen? What do people from other parts of New Hampshire not understand about your region, the Lakes region?
Well, I come across that in some of the initiatives that we do, and I engage with a lot of the other chambers throughout the state. I think what we do really well, the word I like to use is collaborate. And there's a lot of collaboration. I see in some areas initiatives are handled and addressed in silos. And I think in our area, because people know each other and because it is small town communities, that they work together really well. More effectively, I think, than other areas realize. you can get things done.
How does the tourism factor affect sort of that community cohesion that that Marcia Haig talked about and that you talk about? You know, that a decent chunk of the people who live there are kind of in and out.
Sure. I think that's changed a little bit through the years. It used to be, you know, we do have the first you know, residents that are here and then the second homeowners. But I'm also seeing with technology that that's changing a little bit because you can work really from anywhere. And so the people that used to come out and live come for the summer on our island properties, they might come out for a week or two. Their families might stay. They had to go back to work. Now you have technology out there. They're there from the time the ice is out till the end of the season. And it doesn't matter what the industry is.
They're becoming more invested.
They're more involved. They want to get to know the locals, and they want to become part of the locals. So we do see that a lot.
I asked David the same question. What's your own history with this region, Carmen?
I was born and raised in Guilford. I went to school in Guilford. I thought that things would be bigger and brighter out in other areas. I moved to Alaska, and I lived in California. And, you know, I really, really matured and appreciated what I had, and I didn't appreciate it when I lived here. And I came back here and raised my family here, and I'm happy to be back in the region. So
how about you, Kara?
So I actually also grew up in Guilford, went to Guilford High School. I went to Franklin Pierce University for my undergrad and then did a master's program at UNH and then moved home. And I commuted for a while into Boston work. And about 4 years ago, I made a career change, primarily for the lifestyle and also because I kind of, you know, I got involved in housing and saw kind of the negative aspect of some of the more poverty-stricken areas of the Boston area and wanted to make a change. So I'm kind of lifelong. It's funny because growing up, you want to kind of get out and see the world and all that. And then, like, similar to what Carmen said, you realize at one point this is an amazing place and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I want to remind our listeners that you can join us again today in The Exchange. It's our special summer series, Going Local, where each week we take a look at a different region of New Hampshire. And today it's the Lakes region's turn. So if you live in this part of New Hampshire, what do you like about it? What do you wish would change? And what do you want others to know about your region? Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. So, Kara, I'll start with you, but I want to hear from everybody. How would you describe maybe the two biggest challenges that the Lakes region faces? And there'll probably be some overlap among the three of you, but go ahead, Kara, you first.
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, housing. I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased with what I do for work. And also, I would say, secondly, workforce. And I think that those two things go hand in hand. You know, I think the lack of housing that we have in the Lakes region really is a detriment to the availability of you know, bringing people into the Lakes region to work. You know, it's a challenge, and I know it's a statewide challenge, but, you know, we have our own unique issues that go with it, but it's definitely a statewide issue that needs to be looked at.
Sure, and sharper in some regions than others, though. And last week on our Dartmouth-Sunapee regional show, people definitely talked about that. They need to expand the workforce, but there just aren't places for people to live. How about you, David? How would you describe the two biggest challenges that the Lakes region faces?
I think they're identical. You know, with a school system, I think right now we have a transient population that they come for a short amount of time, they can't find work or they can't find housing, so they have to leave. So we have a transient population. We know we have about 2,000 kids in the Laconia School District. 60% are free and reduced, and about 5 to 7% are homeless. So we have a population that is constantly turning over, and just having that consistent places for people to live that is affordable, but also jobs that they can sustain.
Free and reduced, you mean free and reduced price lunch. So these
Correct.
Are low-income families.
Correct.
And do you think people would be surprised to learn that, David, because parts of the Lakes region are beautiful, you know, gorgeous houses, sparkling waters, lovely little restaurants. I myself was surprised looking at the data that the two counties, Belknap and Carroll, have higher poverty rates than the statewide average.
It is. I think people are surprised. So just using my school as an example, if you take three rights out of Pleasant Street School, you're on Shore Drive, which is lakefront property. If you take three lefts out of my school, you're at Blueberry Lane, which is subsidized low-income housing. So we're right in the middle of that. So I think that there's Laconia offers so many positive resources for transient populations or at-risk students and families that it attracts them. But then we're stuck. They're stuck because they can't find a job or they can't find housing.
How about you, Carmen? What would you say the two biggest challenges are that this region faces, recognizing that there's more than two?
Yeah, I kind of use the word managing our talent pipeline because it is, I mean, if you, I heard a number a few weeks ago, if 50,000 college students graduate from every school and university in our state, it still wouldn't fill all of the open jobs that we have.
Wow.
So that to me was kind of mind-blowing.
I mean, it's not a bad problem to have in a way, right? Your unemployment rate is really low.
Exactly. But we do have the jobs. And so some of those jobs are higher skilled. Some are entry level. And I think it's finding that balance. So for us also, we have an aging population. So the next generation, attracting, retaining, engaging, and respecting the next generation is a big topic for our chamber. So we're listening. We want to know, what do they think our challenges are? What are the, you know, what should we be working on? What's tomorrow?
Well, it's interesting you talk about the aging population. And again, I was surprised not only by the poverty numbers, but also Belknap County is 4 or 5 years older than the statewide average. And Carroll County is a good, 5 or 6 years older than the statewide average. So you guys are skewing older in the Lakes region.
We are. And I think that's because as people had second homes and either retired or downsized, they picked their second home as their primary. And so they retired here because it's a beautiful place to be.
Well, here's an email from Jonathan that speaks to the points that all of you are making. Jonathan says, I'm originally from the White Mountains area. That being said, I know what I'm about to write works for lots of areas throughout the state. Jonathan says, I work in the tech industry, and there's nothing that I want more than to raise my children in the place that I grew up, but I cannot afford to. Since a lot of the industries throughout the state are seasonal and tourist-driven, Jonathan says, I was forced to move out of the area and get a job in Maine. Wages simply do not correspond with raising a family full-time in a lot of areas in New Hampshire, which is unfortunate. Jonathan says, I'm now living in a city that I don't want to live in. Jonathan, wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. And, you know, Carmen, I'll turn to you, but anybody else jump in. We did our New Hampshire Economic Roundup just on Monday, and job growth here in the state is very strong, but the wages aren't keeping up.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem, and I think that we're competing with the college graduates, and it kind of goes back to affordable housing. So it's kind of a competition between the college graduates with debt looking for the same affordable housing as those that are retiring and, you know, dropping their wages as well. So that is part of that housing problem.
So why don't businesses just say, oh, people need more money, let's give people higher wages? I mean, you know, we keep hearing about we have a hard time attracting workforce, people have a hard time affording housing. So why don't businesses just pay people more?
I think that some of our larger employers are definitely, you know, right there with high wages, affordable wages, benefits. But we also are an area that's full of entrepreneurs, full of small businesses that have, you know, 5 employees or less. And they're very, you know, their budgets and their financials are fixed.
So it's hard for them to just, quote unquote, just raise wages.
Exactly.
Kara, what do you think?
I'm actually interested that Carmen said, mentioned the boomers and kind of, you know, downsizing to the Lakes region. And it's definitely a problem that we see and hear over and over again on the Millennial Council, is that, you know, we have these millennials that want to live here, and they're looking for these first time homes, and, you know, they've got a good job, but they're competing with folks that want to retire here, and they often have cash to put down. So because it's such a limited market right now for homes, and these folks have cash, all the millennials are getting beat out and unfortunately having to make some hard choices on, you know, the lifestyle and wanting to live here in this beautiful area versus, you know, living somewhere they can actually afford. We're actually at Lakes Region Community Developers. We're doing a project in Wolfboro, single-family homes that are going to be affordable to 75 to 120% area median income, which actually is, it's me. It's the, you know, starter families. It's the single folks starting out. So we're really excited about that and hoping to make a dent kind of in that missing middle income area.
Well, Jonathan, I'm glad you emailed, and thank you so much for sharing your story. And we'll hear a lot more stories after a short break and keep taking your questions and comments. What do you love about living in the Lakes region? What do you wish would change? 1-800-892-6477. I'm Laura Canoy. The Exchange has been going local all summer, exploring the unique regions of New Hampshire. And as part of our series, we'll be heading to Keene, the heart of the Monadnock region, to discuss the biggest issues facing that area and what residents love most about their home. The show will be live at Keene State College on August 16th at 9 a.m. So reserve your free tickets now at nhpr.org/events. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today in The Exchange, it's our Going Local series, a special summer series here on The Exchange, where each Thursday we dive into a different region of the state. This week, it's the Lakes region. So, residents of the Lakes region, it's your turn. Tell us what you love about living in this area. Tell us what you wish were different. Give us a call, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. We have three guests for the hour. David Levesque is here, principal of Pleasant Street School in Laconia, Carmen Gifford, president of the Lakes Region Chamber of Commerce, and Kara LaSalle, real estate development project manager for Lakes Region Community Developers and Secretary of Governor Sununu's Millennial Advisory Council. One more time, that number, 1-800-892-6477. And right back to our listeners, all of you. Don is calling in from Sandwich. Hi, Don. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Laura, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just quickly, I would ask all three to address the unavailability of technology and its effect, particularly in Carroll County, but I would say in the Northern Lakes region, where so many Generation X, Y, and Millennials, so many people are consultants to businesses, and they have the ability to live in other places, but they can't live here because they can't get 5G. They don't have the speed. Even our businesses don't have the speed. And I guess I would just say that, you know, a metaphor, an analogy would be, what would happen if there was not the Rural Electrification Act or Telephone Act, so that everyone, regardless of whether they were rural or urban, had the same access? And I think that our young people are not going to be able to stay. The youngest won't stay because they can't play on their game.
Don, thank you so much for the call. And Carol, turn to you. He's citing a lack of reliable cell service, a lack of reliable high-speed internet access. I wonder what you hear from people.
Yeah, I have heard that, and it's interesting. I know a lot of folks that do telecommute. You know, we have friends that work in New York City and live in the Lakes region. And I think
really? Wow.
Yes, yeah, and I think that's amazing. And it's really one of the great benefits of living in the Lakes region. I think, you know, it's unfortunate that the northern part of the Lakes region really does have more limited access to cell service, and therefore kind of makes it harder for the telecommuting. But I think, too, the Lakes region, that you're kind of on the cusp of being in that more rural area, but you still have sort of that access to, you know, technology and the internet and that kind of thing. So we kind of, you know, bridge that gap.
Yeah, well, it's an issue. And I know when I go to the Monadnock region, people complain about that, too. Losing cell service on Route 9, not having reliable high-speed internet access. Carmen, you're the head of the Chamber of Commerce. I'd love to hear from you on that, too.
Sure. It's definitely a gap. It used to be people wanted to be in that area and say, oh, I was in the Lakes region. You couldn't get a hold of me. But now they, like Don said, you want it to do business. We are seeing some changes in our communication companies that service our area. There was definitely some big changes over the past year with Atlantic Communications and Fairpoint becoming Consolidated Communications. And I think it's getting better. It's just not getting better fast enough.
Okay. Well, Don, thank you for bringing that up. And let's go to Laconia, where Eric is calling in. Hi, Eric. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure. Go ahead, Eric, yeah.
My comment was that I'm one of those younger families, you know, that was born in the late 80s. I have three children, and I absolutely love the Lakes region. But my biggest problem right now is that I work in the IT industry. I'm a college graduate. I have certifications, but I can't find feasible work in the area, which leaves me driving, you know, an hour one way to get to work. and definitely in the wintertime up here, you know, the winters are can be rough. It makes it hard for me to want to stay in the area and not want to go back to being closer to my job.
Wow. So, Eric, you live in Laconia. You've got three kids you're raising in that city. If I could ask you, where do you commute an hour or two to work?
Rochester.
To Rochester. Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's a trip I would not want to make in the winter either. Do you hear stories like this from kids and families at your school, David?
Yeah, we hear stories, and I think that is always going to be a challenge for us. One of the things that I think we're proud of in the Lakes region, I was just looking at some of my notes and realized that our schools are one of the biggest people movers throughout the area. You know, we were one of the bigger employers throughout the area. And just in the last 8 or 10 years, Guilford Elementary was School of the Year. Pleasant Street School last year was School of the Year.
For New Hampshire?
For New Hampshire.
Oh, wow.
Belmont was Middle School of the Year. We have Interlakes, which is School of the Year. So our schools are really doing a great job, and we want to have a way to support these young families to live in the area. Are we losing some families because of that? Absolutely. We lost a family this year, very well-to-do family, that it was easier. They moved to Bedford because that's where they had to be closer to the airport so they could travel. It's disappointing, but we're still happy with what we're doing with our students.
Well, and speaking of young families and whether the region is welcoming for them, our intern Abigail Sleeper, as I said, went to the Lakes region, spoke with a bunch of people there. Here's another person she spoke to, Jamie Dalpiece. She owns a small gym located in the Tilton Outlets. She moved to the region 11 years ago, and she said it's been great for her family.
What I love about the Lakes region is that it was very kid-friendly and that I would be able to find a lot of things for my kids to do, whether it was the winter or the summer. They could have all the skiing, local skiing, and, you know, snowshoeing and all that that it has to offer. And in the summer, there's biking trails, there's the lakes. It's just a great place for them to explore and get to learn what they like. So I really like that aspect of it.
Again, that's Jamie Dalpiece speaking with our intern, Abigail Sleeper. And what do you think about that, Carmen?
I think there are so many opportunities and things to do. That is definitely something, if you're an indoor person, if you're an outdoor person, if you're an extreme, to you know, the 4,000 footers, all of that. But it kind of comes back to the communication technology point again. So we have the access to technology. But the things that I think some businesses and folks get challenged with is how we communicate. We used to have phone books. Today we have Google. And I find that businesses, nonprofits, folks that are putting on events, there's not one way to talk to people. And we don't know where people are listening. And so trying to say, hey, I have a class. Hey, we're doing this event. You really can't just communicate one way. And that has created a challenge, especially with the generational gaps, because technology isn't used by some. What apps do you use? So I see that as an interesting gap. So people will say, oh, I wish we had participated in that. I didn't know about it.
Interesting. Can you give me a for instance?
Sure. So if you, one of the conversations we had recently had to do with if I'm looking for something, and we've sat down with some of the next generation and said, if I'm looking for something, you only have a couple seconds of my time. And if I can't find it on Google, it doesn't exist. We see a lot of businesses that don't have websites. If you're using Facebook or a social app as your mode of communication, people can't search that. So, you know, we know that the feeds aren't coming up consistently with Facebook and that sort of thing. So if they can't find that activity or find that interest quickly, it hasn't been found.
That's interesting.
And then they'll hear people talk about it afterwards and say, I wish I was there.
And that gets to Don's point about, you
Correct.
Know,
the other gap.
Yeah, the other gap. You want to jump in too, David?
Sure. I think the way that we've have to adjust the way that we communicate with parents now is through social media. In the past, my first couple of years, we'd send newsletters home on a monthly basis. Now, I do everything through Facebook and Twitter and through email because it's instant. It goes right to their phones and they can find out an activity that's happened. Even a snow day, no school today or delayed opening, it goes right to their phone. And we communicate differently now. There's not as much face-to-face communication, but it's instant, and it also supports what we're trying to do as a mission of letting people know what the good things we're doing in the school systems. As, you know what, oh, there's a concert today, come and see us. There's an activity tonight, come and watch it. And then we post pictures to share out that information. It's changed so quickly that us trying to keep up is difficult. And even though we think we're caught up, we're not.
Well, I wanted to ask you about technology in the schools because, again, our caller mentioned that. So there you are. You're trying to keep up with it and doing the best you can. There's probably a financial end to this too, right, having the latest and best in your schools.
Yes. You know, we're fortunate that we receive some funds through Title I where we can buy computers. We have Woodland Heights is looking to go to one-to-one computing for some of their fifth graders. Our middle school is at the one-to-one computing. So we're catching up and we're staying the course with this because we see the technology. Our technology team in the school district has done a marvelous job of keeping us connected and keeping us online to the point where we have Apple carts of iPads of 15 and 20 that classrooms can access and do research on, to one-to-one computing where our fifth graders now can have, every student can have a laptop in their hands to do something, all the way up to our middle school where they're going to start transitioning them into the high school.
Yeah, and again, Title I is federal money for lower-income schools.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
I want to return to Eric's call from Laconia and throw it to you, Kara, because it's so interesting to me that he called. He lives in Laconia. He's raising his young family there. He's a young guy. Carmen told us earlier that there's a gazillion jobs that are unfilled in the Lakes region. But then you have Eric commuting all the way to Rochester, even though he doesn't want to. And I just wonder how you sort of put that together.
Yeah, and I so empathize with him because I did that for years, too. You know, we have a service industry because of the tourism aspect of the Lakes region. You know, most jobs that are, you know, hospitality, retail, service industry, and they just, you know, they don't pay as high as some of the more techie jobs or what have you. You know, folks are making perhaps minimum wage. You know, that puts you at about a $15,000 annual salary, which is just frankly just completely unaffordable. So people are making hard choices. You know, and I feel badly for Eric because it's, you know, he obviously wants to live here.
Right.
But it is hard. It's hard to find those jobs. And we have a lot of people competing for them. You know, we've got a lot of good talent in the area and they go quickly. So.
Well, it's interesting, too, talking about the two sides of this region. I noticed again from the data, Carmen, and I'd love your thoughts, too, that the Belknap County side has a lot of manufacturing, actually. I was surprised at how much there was. And then on the other side, it was more tourism-oriented. Obviously, there's tourism everywhere. And the wages in the Belknap County side were higher as well.
They are. And I think because manufacturing is, you know, not on the main road, people don't realize how many manufacturers that we have. Healthcare is another big one. You know, our hospital, our smaller, we have a lot of dental offices. So we do have some higher wages and some higher skilled. But again, it goes back sometimes to, I sit on some, you know, LaborNet type boards, and people are always asking, you know, how do you recruit? What sources are you using? How are you reaching, again, and telling people about this job? And people are trying to get very creative about that. But we do have some significant IT companies in our area that have offices, and a lot of those jobs become virtual. So sometimes it's finding out about that opportunity, and it's really hard. I sympathize with him as well.
Well, Eric, so glad you called. Yeah, go
ahead. I was going to say, he can certainly reach out to the chamber. We can see if we can. Part of our job is making connections. So, you know, maybe we can connect them with some of the businesses that we know are hiring or are looking for good people, and we'll make available positions if they can find folks. So.
Okay. Well, and Eric, if you're still listening, on our website, nhpr.org/exchange, for all these shows, we have, you know, links to the various organizations and people represented here. So lots of information there at nhpr.org/exchange. And to Kathleen next, she's calling from Center Harbor. Hi, Kathleen, you're on the air. Welcome.
I was just calling in to say that what is a remarkable...
Kathleen, you still there? I think we might have lost you. Okay, and that gets to our earlier caller's point about sometimes the phone access. Kathleen, I hope that you call back. Here's an email from Jan who says, I live in Moultonboro and love it. In addition to all the natural beauty, we have a robust live music scene in the area and a great school and low taxes. Many Lakes Region towns have low taxes relative to the rest of the state. So, Jan, thank you for that. Vincent also emailed. He says he's a fan of Interlakes Summer Theater in Meredith. The theater performs four professional musicals over the course of the summer. Shows this year were Evita, Showboat, La Cage aux Folles, and Newsies. And Vincent also tells us what the 2019 season is. We won't get into that now. But what about that scene, Kara, that sort of arts and culture scene that you have in the Lakes region? How important is that to you?
It's important. Yeah, we hear it a lot with the Millennial Council, how important, you know, culture is and things to do for young folks. And, you know, we don't have a booming club scene like you would see in Boston, per se, but there's plenty to do, especially if you're an outdoors person. You know, and the whole tourism aspect of the Lakes region as well provides that summer theater and, you know, more robust summer activities. And it's really what you make of it. You know, it's out there. You just, you know, when you hear complaints about there's nothing to do in the area, I laugh because there's plenty to do. You just have to, you know, find your little niche and go for it.
Well, a couple other people have emailed about the theater and music scene and so forth. Did you want to jump in on that as well, Carmen?
We have a lot of culture in our area. I mean, we have the Franklin Opera House, we have the Winnipesaukee Playhouse, we have the Inner Lakes Theater, and we have a lot of small, you know, theater groups that perform throughout the area. And, you know, we have Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion, which has a huge draw this time of year. But also a lot of our restaurants and bars have live music pretty regularly. Pittman's Freight Room. So it's definitely out there. If you have an interest, there's definitely things to do.
Our number again is 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And thanks for those emails. Kathleen, also, I hope you try to call back. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. Join us as we talk about the Lakes region. It's part of our special summer series, Going Local. Each Thursday, we're focusing on a different region of the state. And this week, it's the Lakes region. So residents of that region, it's your turn. Tell us what you love about living in the area. Tell us what you don't like. What would you change if you could? Again, our number is 1-800-892-6477. So all of you, as we've been doing this series, each region is unique. Each has its own issues, but there are a lot of similarities. As we've already said, housing affordability is an issue everywhere. Workforce shortages are an issue in most parts of the state. And Dave, I'm going to turn to you next. Another, unfortunately, commonality that all regions share in New Hampshire is the opioid crisis. And I wonder what you're seeing in your region and specifically how this has affected the kids and families that you work with.
It is definitely beginning to impact us. We were lucky enough to have Senator Hassan visit us in January. And she sat down and did a panel with our administrators and visited Pleasantry School just to get a sense of what is really happening in the Lakes region connected to the opioid epidemic. But through the Office of School Wellness and Mackenzie Harrington Baycoat, we've been able to, you know, fund some resources to support what's been going on through interventions like positive behavior interventions and supports, PBIS, through hiring a LADEC, a licensed alcohol drug counselor, in the high school and in the middle school. We're able to start addressing those issues earlier and earlier on. I can speak on behalf of the elementary schools. The things that some of our kids are seeing connected to the opioid epidemic and or trauma that they're seeing, whether it's through domestic violence or death, whatever that may be, we're seeing a clear spike in that and how we treat and support students with those issues.
Well, and I know you and I have talked before about your school in particular, but other schools in the region really taking this focus on these kids have trauma. Let's help them out so that they don't become the next generation, so to speak.
Yeah, we're fortunate. We're one of six districts to receive a GROW grant, which is called Generating Resilience Outcomes and Wellness. We've gotten $50,000 over the next 2 years to provide professional development for our teachers so that they can support students that witness or are a part of some trauma that goes on in their lives.
All right. We'll talk a lot more after a short break. And again, if you're from the Lakes region, we really want to hear from you. What you think this region needs to do to improve, what you absolutely love about it. Your questions and comments are welcome at 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. We're talking about the Lakes region today as part of our special summer series, Going Local. Each Thursday, we focus on a different region of the state. And Lakes region residents, it's your turn. What would you like outsiders to know about your region? What would you say your region's biggest problem is? and what are its biggest assets? The number 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Again, exchange@nhpr.org. And all of you, lots of people joining us with their questions and comments about the Lakes region. So let's go back to Laconia, where Andrea is on the line. Hi, Andrea. Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. I wanted to let people know of the tremendous amount of community love and partnerships that inspire people to give back here in the Lakes region, especially Laconia. We have Got Lunch that is feeding kids in the summer, the Santa Fund who's keeping the kids warm. We have the PAWS program that's feeding kids on weekends at Pleasant Street. But what I really want people to know is that these nonprofits are inspiring children to give back. And I think kids are starting at a younger age, being aware of the issues in our community. And these kids are coming together and they're helping their fellow classmates. We have a group called the Serial Heroes that we're shoveling driveways on snow days and making money to purchase cereal and cereal bars for kids who maybe don't have breakfast that day. We have the Spirit of Hope and Kindness Awards in Meredith this year, and we acknowledged amazing things that kids are doing for other kids in the community from Meredith, Belmont, Guilford. We had winners from all over. So I really just want people to know that the Lakes region is full of hope and promise of the future and the kids giving back.
Well, it kind of gets back to something that you said earlier, David. And Andrea, thank you for the call. You know, people hear, you know, about problems in Laconia or Franklin or other parts of the Lakes region, but there's a lot of good stuff going on, too, especially regarding kids.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that I'm amazed every day when I walk into the building and even for our district and probably across the entire Lakes region, how giving the communities are to our youngest, our youngest in the area. It's unbelievable the amount that they give back, whether it's food, money, whatever it may be. If we need something, we put the word out and somehow they come through for us. Right now it's becoming a full cycle, full circle with things. So we've give to the kids give back to the community. They donate, you know, time and money as well. So I'm just always amazed at what the Lakes region does for our youth.
All right. Well, thank you again for the call, Andrea. And let's go to David in Meredith. Hi, David. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment regarding the vibrant art scene in Meredith and the Lakes region in general. But lately, a group of local volunteers and committed art lovers in Meredith have developed a really vibrant outdoor sculpture scene. And there's now a whole lot of outdoor sculpture around town, including today they're dedicating a new bronze of Archie from the Archie comics. The famous Meredith resident was Bob Montana, who drew the Archie comics, and they're dedicating a sculpture in the downtown park today of Archie on a park bench.
Oh, David,
so
thank you.
To throw that out there for
that's awesome.
Meredith has become a real destination.
Thank you so much for the call. And just getting ready for the show, Carmen, I learned that Archie comics came from the Lakes region. I had no idea.
Yeah, he's definitely a very important person, and I think people will be coming to the Meredith area to have to photograph themselves on the bench with Archie, and instead of being down in Boston with the cigar and the Celtics, so it's going to be the new destination.
Well, I wanted to ask you about something that everybody raised earlier, and that is the tourism jobs in the region, and you mentioned the huge workforce challenges for all industries, Carmen, but in terms of tourism specifically, how is that industry feeling, especially those seasonal jobs? You don't need somebody to, you know, run your boat tours when there's ice on the lake.
Right. It is mostly in the summertime. And I think, you know, it's an important topic right now because even though our season is not over, applications go in for those H-2B visas for non-agricultural workers in the fall. And they don't hear back from those visas until like March.
And you have to tell us what those are, H-2B visas.
Yeah. So there's 99,000 foreign workers that applied for jobs and only 33,000 visas were actually awarded this year. So for us in the Lakes region, we had several large employers, the Nassau Resort being one that wasn't able to get their visa, Hart's Turkey Farm, which is very iconic for our area. And that puts a real challenge on those employers. I know at Hart's, it really it made them have to think about which functions they were able to take and if they could staff it, because they want to continue to have that high quality and service and maintain that experience that our visitors have. At the same time, when they bring these, we know there's a lack of employees. When we bring these employees in, they're not taking away from the jobs. They're filling empty jobs that have remained empty.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because sometimes people say, hey, why should someone from a foreign country, you know, take that job? I've got a teenager who would love that job.
It's a lot of work for those employers, and they have the work, and that's, you know, they have that small window of time. And sometimes it can cost them up to $40,000 for the year. They have to house them. A lot of them come with no transportation. Transportation has come up. They can bicycle. They have to find a way to get, you know, their food. But it's definitely... Many of the employers are actually going down and interviewing those visa employees rather as well. So it's a huge issue, and it's a federal issue. So it's really challenging and it's frustrating, because we're working with all our state legislators, but it's really a federal issue. And I'm not really sure why all those visa applications were not approved. They're just slowly getting less and less.
Mm. Well, and we've talked a lot about housing, and I did want to ask you, Kara, one more question about that at least. We talked about the shortage, and especially millennials, but also all sorts of people. We've heard from callers who've had a hard time staying in the region because of the housing issues. So what's the one or two things that you would like to see happen that would help you out with this? Now, obviously, you're doing your own work in your organization, but what would help you out?
Oh, certainly more funding from the state level. I think, you know, our state is not really keeping up with our surrounding states. The surrounding states have found a way to make these subsidies for development of, you know, this missing middle housing piece for starter homes, single family homes. They've found a way to make that work, and a lot of that's through, you know, subsidizing land. You know, if towns have land that they own, that would certainly, you know, that would be helpful for them to, you know, make that affordable for organizations like ours to come in and develop it. You know, it's the infrastructure is certainly a cost. So subsidizing infrastructure, finding a way to do that would certainly be helpful.
Like water and sewer. You can't make a development in an area that doesn't have enough water and sewer to support that.
Yes. And that's often a barrier. I mean, that's the highest cost in development. So if, you know, state policymakers could find a way to figure that out, that'd be great. And I would advocate that, you know, local communities shouldn't wait for the state to make that decision and make some forward progress on that. I mean, you know, like I said, if they have land that's available, you know, find a way to develop housing. It can be multifamily rentals. It can be single family affordable homes, you know, and find a way to subsidize the infrastructure as well. Work with us and, you know, give us a call. We're willing to have a conversation.
You're on the Governor's Millennial Council. Have you told the governor that this is what you want him to do?
Yeah, so I'm on the housing committee, and we did put a report in last fall, and we have another one going in September, and we're going to expand on the report that we did. But those topics were certainly in there. Zoning was another thing that we discussed. You know, zoning regulations and density is an issue. So that would be something that if towns could work on, that would be ideal as well, so we can get some more units in and make the increase the density, you know, keep the natural landscape of some of those rural areas, which people love, but then increase density in some of the more developed areas already. So.
Well, and I want to definitely ask about that point you just made. But first to you, Carmen, so this is the live free or die state. We don't tend to subsidize things to the extent that other states do. And I've heard so many complaints about this housing issue. But I wonder, okay, if there's such a need, wouldn't the private sector say, okay, supply and demand, there's a demand, we're going to create the supply? I mean, yeah. What's the sort of roadblock here?
So I see two significant roadblocks. One, we are, like in our area, it's 24 towns and cities. All of the planning is done individually in each of those communities. And like Kara said, the density is an issue. If there's a minimum, you know, building with regards to acreage, we have to be looking at that from the planning perspective, but also the cost to build in our area. We're very close to Canada, the tariffs, a lot of our lumber comes from up there. And so for a builder to build an affordable house, it's not affordable for that builder. So they're building at a higher level because of what it costs them to build.
So there's issues surrounding that are bigger than mm-hmm. what any one private company can overcome.
Correct.
To fill that demand that is so, so sharp. Go ahead, David.
And I think that connects to our schools, because when we're hiring young teachers, they're having to commute. So I lost two teachers this year. One lived in the Portsmouth area, and she'd been commuting for 10 or 11 years, finally just said, I can't do this every day. I lost another one that has this family, and they lived in Hooksett. And they're saying, there's no place to raise a family because I can't afford to raise a family with the housing.
Wow, they commuted from Hooksett up to Laconia.
So we,
That's a long drive.
We have a lot of, not a lot, we have a handful of teachers that make a long trip. And they want to live here, but then finding that house that fits their needs. And if I'm a first-year, second-year teacher, how do I afford that mortgage? So it's this kind of vicious little cycle that we see because the teachers are great and they're putting out a great product for our kids, and it's a struggle.
Well, I want to pick up on one more really important point that Kara made. As we talk about the need for more housing, there's also a concern about building in the right place and the wrong place. And as you all know better than me, keeping those lakes clean, clear, and beautiful is a huge priority for this region. Our intern, Abigail Sleeper, spoke, as I said earlier, to a bunch of folks in the Lakes region. Here's Bert Maccabee. He's from Tilton. He says the Lakes region is the most beautiful part of the world. I know. And Bert said keeping that way is his chief concern for the region.
I think that we have to be husbands of our environment, that the environment can be threatened so easily by so much. I'm concerned about the lakes becoming more polluted with nitrogen and phosphorus. There are invasive plants that are coming into the lakes, and that impacts their quality and therefore the quality of our economic life.
Again, that is Bert Maccabee. He spoke with our intern, Abigail Sleeper. I also got an email on this same issue from someone who didn't want to give a name. This person says there are unhealthy amounts of algae in the water the last few years, and many blame the oversized homes on the shore that use too many fertilizers, etc., without any regard for such a beautiful natural resource. Bottom line, this person says, a lot of out-of-state money brings with it the good and the bad, and it's unfortunate that it has had such a powerful impact on such a wonderful place. So that's an email again. So what do you think, Carmen? You know, people need more housing, but you want to do it in the right way so you don't kill the goose that lays the golden egg, to use a worn-out phrase.
Exactly. And I think the affordable housing is not the lakefront housing. So there's a big disparity there. But, you know, there needs... I can use an example of one of my grown children has been living in this area, and he didn't want to rent. And so he purchased a condo in Manchester because he was able to buy it for a very affordable amount. So he's now invested, but he didn't have that opportunity in the Lakes region. So hopefully he'll move back. That's my goal. I know Kara knows him. So I think that, you know, that is part of that problem, and college debt, you know, combined adds to that. The one other thing I wanted to add that's going on in our area from a tourism perspective is there is a huge initiative to develop what was the former state school property. It's a state property, and it's really moving along further in planning than it has in the past. And it's being eyed as a destination sports complex with multiple indoor and outdoor fields that, I mean, we're already a tourism area, and we have the hospitality, the hotels, the restaurants. But if we could be bringing in more people as a destination, it is huge in many other areas. But that's also young families as well. So it's kind of leading into that next generation. So that's something to keep an eye on in the Lakes region.
And we talked about that actually on the Economic Roundup on Monday. Is that what Laconia needs, a sports complex or more housing?
I know that there's been a look at to incorporate the housing in there with it. I think maybe I'm wrong and Kara can answer, but sometimes the affordable housing also has to have a walkability too.
It does. I mean, the state agency that does the low-income housing tax credits allocations, there are points on the qualified allocation plan, which is the application process in which you get awarded those LIHTC points. There's points on there for walkability. You can not put those in there, but certainly it does help, and you have a better chance of scoring on the application and therefore having the availability to do the project with those points.
Last question for you, Dave. If you could kind of wave your magic wand and just do something to improve the lot of the families and kids that you work with, what would you do? What would you like to see happen for your families? Maybe you're doing it already. You talked already about the trauma-informed education programs and so forth.
I think for us, it is continue to stay the course. Sometimes in education, we just jump from one initiative to the next initiative to the next initiative. I think by staying the course and doing what we're doing with our kids ready or not, you know, our schools determine whether families move into towns. You know,
it's people, important, absolutely. Yeah. People won't move to a region if they think the schools are bad.
So we have families shopping schools to say, where do I want my child
absolutely.
To go to school? So the work that we're doing with the schools, I think, is incredibly important. I think that's a full cycle with the housing, with the development, with our young teachers. So working together with these groups, I think we'll be okay.
Well, and you're kind of summing it all up for us, because you're right. People will come and participate if the schools are good, if they have a place to live, as Kara's been talking about, if they have a good wage job, as Carmen's been talking about, if there's fun stuff to do, which you've all talked about. Kara, what's the future of this region? What's it going to look like 10 years from now?
I think we've got a really great group of young people in the area currently, and more come every day. I'm part of Fusion, which is the Lakes Region Young Professionals Group, and we get emails and phone calls from folks that are, you know, looking to come to the area and want to meet people, make connections. So there's a continuous influx, and you know, they're engaged. The millennials are engaged, and they're invested in their community. And the young entrepreneurs, there's a whole slew of them downtown Laconia that have really transformed the downtown. So it's a great thing to see, and it's nice to see the engagement.
Carmen, who should move to the Lakes region?
Who should move? Well, everyone is welcome in the Lakes region.
I thought you might say that.
But we need to continue to maintain the beauty that we have, maintain our lakes, maintain, you know, the vibe that we have. And our goal is to keep people connected. And that means keeping our business community connected. They're busy doing what they do. You know, it's that live free or die state. We want them to run the business the way they want to run it, but stay connected.
Well, this has been great. There's a lot more we could have talked about. Thank you all so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next Thursday, our Going Local series hits the road and goes to the Monadnock region. We'll be doing our show live on August 16th, so come join us at Keene State College. You can reserve your free ticket now at nhpr.org/events. And this is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.